kind of vague, but if you want to go find out, you can look back there. We're going to be in the Bible today. We're going to be in a couple places. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 1. And we're also going to be mainly in Matthew 13. And we're starting a series today called Rooted, which I think we have a cool little graphic for. And we're going to be taking 4 weeks and examining life, looking at our lives, looking at our spiritual life, and the processes that we go through to be fruitful, to grow, to mature. We want to be fruitful. Everybody loves results. You know, we want to get to the end. We're making the time of year we make resolutions, and we do that thinking of the end, right? Like a lot of people make fitness resolutions or health resolutions, and they kind of have a picture of what they want to accomplish. We're really about the results. You know, we want the results. We want to focus on the results. We want to concentrate on the results. But even in that name, a result is something that comes at the end of a process. And so there's a process that we have to go through to get those results. And we really need to focus on the inputs of that process, and the results come. If you just try to get the results and don't walk through the process, you don't often get there. So we want to be fruitful in our spiritual life, but we need to be planted, we need to grow, we need pruning, and then comes fruitfulness. And so we're going to be looking at that. Psalm 1 gives us a picture, really, of maybe the end of kind of the picture of where we want to be or who we want to be, hopefully. And what's really cool, I just love the way that God works, because we have, you know, we have these teachings laid out, and there's just a rotation of guys that go, and they just, I don't want to say randomly, but, you know, providentially they arise, and, you know, I don't try to even have a lot of say over what I teach. I just submit and let God work. But my kids have been having a Bible study in our home, and we've been going through the parables of Jesus, and one of the ways that we begin our Bible study is I just have them pick a number between 1 and 150, and we pick a psalm, and we read it. So what's interesting is that one of the psalms that we read most recently was Psalm 1, and one of the parables that we've gone through is the parable of the four soils, which we're covering today. So I'm going to try to get through this and to be interesting and not to ramble, because another interesting thing that I've kind of been looking at and learning about and studying just as a curiosity is looking at soil, looking at dirt. I kind of like to garden a little bit. And so those are things we're talking about. So I'll try not to like nerd out too much in a way that loses you. Okay, so look at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. And first of all, we want to be blessed, right? We want to be blessed. The blessed comes from the word Esher or Asher, which I have a son named Asher, which means happy. Or it also can mean straight or right. There's a blessedness, a happiness, a joy in walking rightly with God. And it denotes a state of being where you have the joy of the Lord because you're walking in right relationship with the Lord. And it's actually plural, which means like a multitude of blessings or an intensification of blessing. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And this is the picture, this is an image that I hope is kind of an image of your life that you would like to achieve. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. That's the blessed person who avoids sin and meditates on God's law and walks in right relationship with him. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. He has the resources he needs, produces fruit in season, the leaf doesn't wither, whatever he does prospers. And that's the result that we're aiming at. As we walk and have a relationship with the Lord, I want to be that man. I want to be that person. How about you? That would be a good thing to have on your gravestone, huh? That's what I want to be. That's the picture I want of my relationship with Jesus. And what we're going to look at this week is that for a tree to be planted, it has to be planted in a location. It has to be planted in something. For a seed to grow, it needs a substance, a substrate. It needs something to begin its life. And we're going to be talking about what we're planted in. And we're talking about soil, right? So what's interesting, and this is where I maybe will nerd out a little bit, but soils shape civilizations. I don't know if you knew this. You know, if you look at world history, and I probably talked about this. I just come up here every few weeks, and I get interested in things like that. But if you look at civilizations, you look at world history, you look at empires in the world, and you think about all the factors that have led to their growth or to their demise, soil quality is probably not one of the things that you would come up with. You know, there's a lot of factors. But, you know, the Roman Empire expanded partially because they tried, you know, Italy's like a rocky place, and they tried to plant crops where they'd have to turn over the soil and plant crops every season. And when you bare the earth and rain comes and you have rocky, you have soil on rock, it erodes away. And so Italy is mainly a place where they grow olives and grapes, things that come back every year. So they had to get their grain elsewhere, and they had to expand into northern Africa, which led to the expansion and then eventually the demise of it. Brian, you were in Iraq, right? Iraq, between the Tigris and the Euphrates, historically we call that Mesopotamia. It's known as the Fertile Crescent, right? When you were there, would you classify it as fertile, green, and lush? It's no longer fertile today because they managed their soils poorly, partially because they over-irrigated it and rose the water table above the soil level. And when the water evaporates, it left behind salt. It salinated the soil. And now they have irrigation still, and they have all kinds of pumps and irrigation systems, and they just flood the land, let it evaporate, and they get salt from it. It's no longer fertile. It's been mismanaged. It's not a habitable place, really, apart from spread out cities, right? Even in our own country, if you know the history of the Dust Bowl, for example, you know, America, as we headed west and, you know, we moved out, we discovered these grasslands, these prairies filled with bison. There's a beautiful ecosystem. If you hear somebody that is better than me and knows more than me talk about it, it's like it's a beautiful system where, you know, the sun makes the grass grow. There's this intricate, deep root system that stays in place, this healthy soil, and the bison come through and graze the soil and fertilize it, and it's just this loop of vibrancy, of health. I would almost use a biblical word, shalom. There's a harmony there, a peace and a well-being where this system works. And we came in and cut the sod, and the soil was laid bare, and we tried to plant crops, and in a matter of decades, we had so degraded the soil that, you know, the Dust Bowl happened. These storms came through. There were these famines. At the same time, in Europe, very similar grasslands. There's the Ukraine, which was reluctantly part of the Soviet Union, and they had similar catastrophic events happen. Not even similar, vastly greater catastrophic events happen partially because they mismanaged their soil and they had famine. What's interesting, and I'm trying not to nerd out, but during the U.S. Dust Bowl, you know, they estimate 7,000 people lost their lives. Millions of people were displaced. They had to flee to California, if you've read, like, The Grapes of Wrath and that sort of thing in high school, maybe. People in jalopies, you know, like the Clampets, kind of like their truck. They just pile everything on, head west, trying to find work, you know, picking fruit in California or something like that. In the Ukraine, they estimate that 3.9 million people lost their lives. During the Dust Bowl, about 7,000 people lost their lives. So the scale is not even there. And the mismanagement was on a much larger scale. They call it the Holodorum. It was a terrible time in history. They had to, I won't even say it, but people were going to terrible lengths to not starve. I'll just say that. And it shapes soil, you know, soil shapes civilizations. And there's repeated instances throughout history where we've managed or mismanaged, you know, our agricultural resources, our soil, which is a precious and rare resource, to, you know, our benefit or our detriment. Even today, scientists, one of the things that they're concerned about, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things to be worried about. But something that kind of is under the radar is nutrient deficiency in the food that we're growing. We're growing more and better and bigger food, but the nutritional quality of that food is going down. And today, you know, they estimate like 50% of people have iron deficiencies, a third of people have zinc deficiencies. There's other minerals, calcium, selenium, things that we need in our diet that we should get from healthy foods grown in healthy soil, that although we have an abundance of food, the nutritional value is lacking. And while we're, you know, we're consuming more and more calories, we're actually, you know, we have less and less health and nutrition in our bodies. And that has to do partially with soil, or has to do a lot with that. And so it's interesting to see this, you know, dirt has an impact. And I'm saying that that happens on a global macro scale. And what I'm trying to say is that Jesus compares our heart, our soul, to soil. And the quality of that soil has a tremendous impact on the health of our spiritual life. You see that connection? If you turn to Matthew 13, we're going to see a parable here. I've got a quote I'll read. There's a Jewish scientist, I guess he's a soil scientist, Daniel Hillel, and he's written about it. He has a book I got my wife ordering me on, the natural history of the Bible, and he talks about civilizations and the Jewish perspective and how they, I'll read you this quote and you'll get a better idea, but how the earth, the soil, and spiritual life are tied together, and biblical concepts like shalom, how the harmony of the natural world and the harmony of the spiritual world, when we're working in God's ways, under God's law, under God's authority, there's a harmony and a beauty that produces bounty. And so I want to have a bountiful spiritual life. In Matthew 13, there's a parable that Jesus told. We'll start in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. So Jesus tells a parable, a farmer sowing seed, and there's four types of soil. There's soil along the path, rocky soil, soil among the thorns, and good soil. And he goes on to, the disciples are confused, they don't understand, they ask him about it. And in verse 18, Jesus says, he says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So the four soils correspond to types of people, types of hearers, listeners to God's word. And I would hear this sometimes, and I would think, I want to be good soil, but do I have any say in it? You ever read that? Like, are people, you ask that question, like, are people just a certain type of soil, and they don't have any say? They just are what they are, and they're going to get it, or they're not going to get it? You know, have you ever heard that? Like, well, I hope I'm good soil, but if I'm not, well, nothing I can do about it. I'll just go about my life. Have you ever considered that? Like, I've worked with people, and sometimes, you know, you work with difficult people, hard-headed people, people who are like this. They, you know, you teach them something, you share the word of God with them, and they're excited, and they have joy, and they receive it gladly, and then you come back a couple days later, and it's like it never happened. And they fall away, right? Or people who get it, and they walk for a while, and then they fall away, they become concerned with things of the world. You can see this. If you're trying to be a sower of seed, you're sharing God's word, you see these things. And I wonder, are people just what they are? You know, am I just what I'm going to be? Am I the soil that I was made, that God made me to be, and I'm just am what I am, and there's nothing I can do about it, so I just hope I'm good soil and go about my life? Well, I was thinking about this, and I wrestle with this, and I know as a very novice gardener that you can amend soil. You can change the quality of soil. You can observe and work the land and make it more fruitful. You can make it more productive. You can make it more receptive. You can turn it over. You can go through and you can pull out roots. You can pull out rocks. You can add compost. You can add, you know, there's three amendments that farmers, are, a lot of farmers are usually concerned with: nitrogen, potassium, NPK, right? Nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. And you can look at your soil and how it's responding and how things are growing, and you can add and amend or delete or take out. You can change the quality of soil in the natural world. I was also thinking about John the Baptist. When he came preaching, he came before Jesus, what was his message? Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. And you can prepare your heart for the work of God that's coming. You know, every year, it's at this time of year, like, I've gotten about four seed magazines in my mailbox, okay? And this happens every year. We look at those magazines, we're like, oh, this is awesome, this is awesome. I want this, I want to have this, you know? And we think about all the things that we'd like to grow, and, you know, but we don't have room, or we're not ready, and it, you know, it comes to be spring, and then it gets to be like early summer. And if we haven't prepared, you know, like, we've lost a year, basically. If we haven't prepared the soil, if we haven't made a raised bed or turned over more ground or whatever, if we haven't taken the efforts to be prepared, we're going to miss the opportunity that, you know, we would love to have. And I think our souls are the same way. Not that, you know, if we miss things, like, God can still do miracles. He can still do work. But I think, brothers and sisters, in this next year, we want God to work in our lives. We want God to work in our church. We need to focus on the condition of our soul and take an inward look and examine the quality of our soil. You know, the quality of our soul. Are we ready for a move of God? Everybody wants, you know, God to do big things in their life. But a lot of times we just let things go and just expect. We just want God to change everything. And we need to lay some groundwork. We need to do some tilling. We need to do some pulling. We need to do some weeding. You know, I always laugh when I think about it. Well, Tracy, you guys know Tracy from the Powerhouse. I don't know if you remember. He wanted to have a big garden and raise. And he'd laugh if he was here, so I'm not saying anything that would embarrass him. But he had some ground turned over. You know, he was going to have these big plans for this big garden. And I remember him talking about, he had a friend that had horses, and he was going to give him a bunch of manure. And this guy came and spread green manure on his garden, which, you know, green, I don't know all of it, but it can burn, it can be too rich for some things. But these horses had also eaten, I guess, gotten into thistles. And it wasn't composted manure. And he had bought some tomatoes, I believe, or a bunch of tomato plants. Like, there were, you know, like, when it was first in the ground, it was a great-looking garden. And pretty soon, it was a thistle patch, you know. And you have to take care what you're putting into your soul, what you're putting into your life. And you get a weed, and then that weed goes to seed. You know, one seed makes hundreds, and you're overrun. We need to carefully consider the things that we're allowing into our lives, that we're allowing into our soul, that we're observing with our eyes. Remember, the eyes are the window of the soul, and then out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we have to be aware of the things that are coming in and coming out. And we can shepherd our soul with God, with the Holy Spirit, with God's word. You know, one thing that's really interesting to me, and this is a quote from that guy I referenced. I want to read it to you. And this goes back to Genesis 1, right? God created Adam, and he put him in the garden to tend it, right? The initial role of man is a caretaker, a tender of the garden, of the earth, of the soil. So we're called to tend the soil, but we're also, what are we made of? We're made of soil. We're called to tend our souls, to nurture them so that they can grow. When God's seed is planted, when he comes ready to do work, we need to be prepared. This is a quote from this Daniel Hillel. He said, "Readers of the Bible in translation miss much of the imagery and poetry of the evocative verbal associations in the original Hebrew. The indissoluble link between man and the soil is manifested in the very name Adam, derived from Adamah, a Hebrew noun meaning earth or soil. Adam's name encapsulates man's origin and destiny. His existence and livelihood derive from the soil to which he is tethered throughout his life and which he is fated to return at the end of his days. Likewise, the name of Adam's mate, Hava, translated Eve, whose translation literally means living. In the words of the Bible, and the man called his wife Eve, for she was the mother of all living. Together, Adam and Eve signify the soil and life. The ancient Hebrew association of man with soil is echoed in the Latin name for man, homo, derived from humus, the stuff of life in the soil. This powerful metaphor suggests an early realization of the profound truth that humanity has since disregarded to its own detriment. Since the words humility and humble also derive from humus, it's rather ironic that we should assign our species so arrogant a name as Homo sapiens sapiens, wise, wise man. That's what we call ourselves. That's what scientists call us. It occurs to me as I ponder our past and future relation to the earth that we might consider changing our name to a more modest Homo sapiens curans, the word curans denoting caretaking or curing as in curator. Of course, we must work to deserve the new name, even as we have not deserved the old one." So there's this intricate connection, man and earth. We are from the soil, and we return to the soil, and we're called to tend the soil. And so I guess what I'm saying here is this parable of the four soils is a challenge for us to tend and care for our soul, so that we're in a position that when God is ready to move, you know, we receive his word, we receive his teaching, we receive the kingdom, and it's able to grow without weeds, without shallow soil, without rocky soil, without the enemy coming and stealing it. We're given this mandate from the very beginning to tend the earth, and we're also to care for our soul and the souls of our brothers and sisters. So in Matthew 13, Jesus tells this parable. And the seed is the word of God, the kingdom of God. And we want to be prepared for the work of the kingdom of God. Now, as we get into this series, you know, the idea that I'm challenged with communicating today is that the seed, the message, the gospel, the good news of the kingdom is available to all. The seed is broadcast. God is trying to work in all lives. He wants to work in your life today. He wants to do work in your soul that has benefit for your well-being, for your household, and the people around you. It's sown generously no matter the heart condition of the individual. It throws the sower throws the seed out, and it lands on all four soils. But its ability, the ability of the seed to take root and grow, is dependent on the condition of the soil of one's heart. And I want you guys today to take the idea that you have the ability to make choices that ensure that your hearts are fertile soil for the truth of God's gospel to take root. You can tend your heart. You know, with gardening, there's hoeing, there's weeding, there's turning the soil. You know, there's fertilizing. And we know what those things are. We can be in God's word. We can be in prayer. We have fellowship with other believers. And it's not just like a compartmentalized addition, but there's a vibrant intermingling and interworking in a healthy, organic ecosystem. And spiritually, that should be the same way. It's like, it's not that, well, I do my Bible reading here, and then I do my praying here, and then I have this time blocked off for spending time with other believers, and then I go and share my faith. It's just a beautiful inner working, an inner mingling. It's not compartmentalized. It's a vibrant, whole, living being, and our spiritual life should be that way. And so the challenge today is that we would make a conscious choice to adjust our lifestyles with the work of the Holy Spirit to create an environment where our relationship with God can grow. It's kind of what Hogan was saying, committing to being in God's presence. We're tending the garden of our soul. We're putting in time. And you know, if you have a garden, you know, you got to go out there about every day. You know, you got to keep an eye on things. And if you let things slide, things get out of hand, they get out of control quick. Where you almost feel like you can't recover. But you just have to put in the time and with wisdom go and lay the groundwork for God to do a work in your life. And that's kind of what today is about, what this message is about. You know, if you look at Proverbs 4:23, you know, so I don't want to, you know, our series is Rooted. So we kind of have the picture of a tree. You know, we are a vine, but we're also soil. You know, we're kind of mixing our metaphors here, and that's okay. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, again, speaks to our responsibility to tend to our heart. Above all else, okay, does that mean it's important? Okay, here's the book of Proverbs, and this part starts above all else. Okay, so we're in the fourth chapter, there's a lot of Proverbs that have been mentioned, above all else. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Tend your heart. Be aware of the condition of your heart. The soil. Your soul. It's the wellspring of life. Guarding means you're protecting what's going in and you're aware of what's coming out. You know what's going on inside. You know what's coming inside. You know what's trying to come out. You guard your heart. You know, I was concerned about my heart this week. You know, it's that week between Christmas and New Year's. Your routine's all messed up, you know, and we battled some sickness. I wasn't feeling great, you know, and I was like, man, there's something going on. There's a lot of factors happening. I'm aware. I'm guarding my heart. You have to be careful, you know, when you know what's going on in your heart. If you're in a bad place, don't make a lot of decisions. Don't say a lot of rash things. You want to correct the things that are going on that you don't like. Have inputs of God's word and prayer. You have to guard your heart. Anybody else struggle this week? I had a rough week. We were just, when you don't feel well, you know, everything just has like it looks a little bit grayer. Everything's a little bit more difficult. And even going into the new year, you know, it's like, I think people struggle to be optimistic. You know, a lot of times you're optimistic at the new year. And it's been a struggle. I don't want to guard my heart. I want to be a tree planted by the river. I want to bear fruit in season. I don't want my leaf to wither. And so I take up this challenge. I receive this challenge. I want God to work in my life in 2022. How about you? Anybody? You guys want God to work in your life in 2022? You want to see fruit grow? You want to see new things come out of your garden in 2022? You want to see, you're craving the old, you know, the tomatoes that you've always grown, but you kind of want to try something new? I want to tend the garden of my heart, and I want to see God do great things, and I want that for you guys as well. So as we go into this series, that's what this is about. And I don't really think there's anything, you know, Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart. I don't really think that there's anything more urgent or important that we ought to be doing than looking into these matters, looking into our spiritual condition, walking in relationship with God, having the correct inputs, you know, getting the things out that don't need to be there. If you look at the parable of the four soils, you know, there were cares of the world, hardship, deceitfulness of riches and wealth. Those were things that choked out the seed. If you look in Proverbs or Psalm 1, the things they avoided, walking in the counsel of the wicked, standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the place of mockers. We can avoid those things and we can put the right things into our heart. And so like I was saying, I don't think there's anything more urgent or important. I guess I'll end with Jesus' thought in Luke chapter 21. And he said, in Luke 21:34, he said, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap." He says to be careful that your hearts don't get weighed down. Dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. We need to guard our hearts from these things. Elsewhere, Jesus said, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? We need to guard our hearts, brothers and sisters. I want to pray for you. We'll have a time of communion. Father, I pray that those of us here and those of us listening would take seriously the call to guard our hearts, to care for our soil, to put in your word, to put in prayer, to spend time pulling out the weeds, the seeds of temptation, to get the sins out, the anxieties of life, Lord, that we would remove those things. We put the right things in and we would prepare the bed, prepare the soil, prepare the garden of our hearts. And Lord, we ask you to put in, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, that you would put into their lives the seeds that you desire to grow in 2022. You put in the seeds that you want to come out of their life, the fruitfulness that you desire to see, the things of the kingdom, God, that you want to come forth. We ask that they would prepare the soil and you would put them in and they would nurture and tend and water them with your help by your Spirit, God, and you would do great things in our lives, Lord. We ask you to move. As we go into this time of communion, we want to be still and remember most of all your sacrifice, your death on the cross to forgive our sins, to purchase us, to ransom us, to adopt us into your family. We want to be rooted and grounded in love, as Ephesians says, in your love. That would be the world we live in, the soil we inhabit. We would be rooted and grounded in love, and we could comprehend your love, the dimensions of it, the height, the width, the breadth, and the depth. So as we go into communion, God, let us reflect on these things. I pray that your Spirit would do the work that I can't do, that the things that I'm trying to accomplish, that I hope that you want me to accomplish or you want accomplished, that you would go ahead and do them despite the weakness of the vessel, that you would reveal, God, I pray that you would reveal the things in our lives that we need to take out and the things that you want us to put in. Pray all this in Jesus' name.